Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 83 for June 25th, 2019. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I have put the list of requests together, and you should be seeing those on your screen right now while I'm talking. We're going to get through as many of those as we can today, and we are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on your favorite podcast directory, so just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today I have arranged for Michael Filigera and Jim Kenny to join us, and Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay. Thanks, David, and good to be with everybody here today. We got 15 very interesting stocks in a variety of different industries. So actually, from an inventory standpoint, you're going to be hearing about a lot of different companies that are very, very interesting. Before we get started, though, Michael is going to give us a little background on himself as well as his company. And Michael, let it go.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Michael Filigera. I am with Logical Signals, which is my own website. Again, still under development in terms of I'm revamping it and changing it around. I have been trading in the market since 1979. For many years, I was an options market maker, and I've traded here in San Francisco. I've traded in London. I've traded in Amsterdam, Germany, and then came back to San Francisco. When everything went electronic, I left the floor and started trading from my office here at home, and eventually switched over to trading futures, which is what I do now. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, great, Mike. This is Jim. I'm the content provider over at optionprofessor.com. And each week I have a market update at least once a week. You can get the link to that at optionprofessor.com. And of course, I always suggest people shoot me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com if they have any questions on the options as well. All right, let's turn in and let's go right into Ally Financial. And Michael, how do you feel about Ally Financial right now?
I actually like it.
Yeah.
I was looking at a weekly. I'm going to go drop down to the daily chart. And on the weekly chart, it's just been consolidating, which you also can see when you look at a daily chart. You can see that it's been consolidating between basically 29 and 30. Now, I'm going to say the all-time high, or at least the weekly high, is 30.27. And unless it really gives up 29, I think that there's a very high probability that it will break to new highs. And the all-time high is 31.29, excuse me. But I think it can still break there very easily, create a new high before all is said and done. And so I actually like it for at least a couple of more dollars. Again, I would say, as we always do, if you have a position in this particular stock and you've had it for a while and you bought it below and you're waiting up here, a couple of things. You can continue to hold it, but you might want to start to put protection if you're not willing to sell if it breaks to a new high.
Yeah, the company obviously has been trying to turn to the upside here. The moving averages and things like that, look pretty good. They're at 28, 29. That 29 number is very important. And then there's another one, I think, just a little bit lower. But this is around the all-time high. And this is a neighborhood, if it's going to fail, this would be the neighborhood that we would fail from. So that's why your idea of maybe getting some put protection would make some sense. Because if it breaks out from here, you're home free. And if it doesn't, then obviously you have some kind of a protection underneath. The volume is kind of, flat. So there's nothing to write home about there. P ratio of 9, cheap. And the dividend pays 228, which is not great, but not bad. So, and I think this company does mostly online stuff. I've never really seen a bank that called itself Ally Financial, a brick or mortar. Did you ever see a brick or mortar Ally Financial?
No, I believe it's a complete online.
Yeah, because one of their claims to fame is I think they give you a little bit more juice on your deposit than the regular banks. CD rates are better. So anyway, if the banking industry is going to do fairly well, which there's a question mark there, this thing around 30, 31, that's the neighborhood that if it's going to fade out, that's where it would be. So 2660 is the 200-day and 2890 is your 50-day. So they're inverted to the upside. That's a good thing. It's trading above both numbers. That's a good thing. So right now, you'd at least hold it. And then if you had some concerns that there could be a failure here, then, of course, you would do maybe some kind of a put protection or some type of thing.
Right. Or just all get right. out of the stock.
Yeah, like I say, this thing had a big run up to 30, and then it's been doing nothing here for a little while. So that's another cause of concern is, you know, it hit the 30 and now it's gone sideways. Is this consolidation to break out, or is it distribution to tank? And you'll probably know that within the next 90 days. Okay, now we're going over to the metals, which have been hot, but this is one of the less hot ones because it's been lagging. We got the gold to silver ratio. I checked the other day, was hitting 92. I started out this thing decades ago, and decades ago it used to be 30 to 40, and then it became 60. Then I saw 80, and now it's at 92. So obviously there's two different games going on now. One is gold as a monetary metal and a hedge and a store of value. And then you got silver, an industrial metal, but maybe the industries that used to use silver aren't using quite as much because silver, to call it a laggard, would be an understatement. At any rate, SLV is what it is. What's your story on SLV, Mike?
First, I agree with everything that you've just said. And I agree that silver continues to be the laggard here with this incredible performance that we've seen in gold over the last several weeks. And silver has rallied along with gold and then stalled. And then, of course, it started to come down. In fact, silver ends the day down versus gold ending the day up substantially. And so I'm looking at SLV, and I'm not holding a whole lot of high hopes here that this thing's going to be able to pick up the rally. Now, having said that, it definitely could. I mean, this all could switch around and boom, we get a pop. But then again, I think it's just going to be exactly what that is, a pop. So I think it pops back up, maybe reaches 1460, maybe, and then goes into a correction. If not, the status momentum index that I use is kind of telling me this appears to be topping out and it's beginning to point downward. Now, if I'm just, that's on a daily chart. If I move up to the weekly chart on this one, it might tell me a little bit different, or yeah, it's a little bit different story, but not a whole lot different. In fact, the pattern continues to support that it could eke out a little bit new high for this particular move up and then come back down and start to actually move substantially lower from these levels. And if it comes to the downside, the big level that's going to be there to watch is 13.
Yeah, well, I 100% agree with that. I think if you're an investor and you wanted to take a shot here for a long-term position, 13 would be your exit and 1439 your entry, and that's not that bad of a difference. But I was going to say, I'm seeing something on the volume. Do you have any machine there that will tell you the volume? Because I don't know.
The volume was very high today.
High? The average is 8 million, and it did 23.8 million. So right. To say it's high is saying the temperature here in Vegas is getting high. You know what I mean? It's very high.
Well,
so, those are the two concerns that I have looking at the gold here today and the silver. The gold did about three times normal volume ballpark, and this thing is doing three times normal volume, and we did not follow through on either one of them. That would be a yellow flag possibly. Now, you know, like I say, these metals can go wherever they go. You know, they can be up $100 when we walk in tomorrow. I'm just saying.
Right. I agree with what you just said that the yellow caution flag, but I think you got to also remember that who's ever got that yellow caution flag has got the red one right behind it and is just holding his breath before he throws that one out.
I'm big on when everyone is buying, who's selling. I'm really big on that because you know what? Not everybody is going to be right. So somebody's going to be right up here. And the question is they did 23 million shares of this thing and it traded today as high as... what was the high today? 1451. And somebody did some selling up at 1451. And on the 600,000 things they did in gold, somebody sold at 1450 area. And I'm just wondering who was the smarter guy, the buyer or the seller. Only time will tell. But sometimes when volume gets really big, it's not the beginning of the move. It's sometimes in the short run.
The end of the move. It's the exhaustion. And in gold's case, I agree with you. And I know we were talking about this before we started the this afternoon. And the thing is, and I'm just going to say again that in an article that I read, the analyst was making a very smart statement and said that gold crashes up. So when I saw that, and it actually basically was during European trading that it hit that high at what, 1452 or something like that. And that was in European trading. And what it really kind of hit me as after some very, very, very strong up days we've had in gold is that somebody was getting closed out. Either there was a trader or a market maker and they, you know, margin call and boom, you can't give us the money. Your position's gone. And it could have been a short position, obviously. And now gold remaining, well, we don't want to talk about gold. That's not on our list. So, but in silver, I actually don't think it's going to hold. And don't forget, on mine, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see what yours is. On the daily, I got the 200 day at 1422. That's the backyard to this thing now. So
This thing, I'm showing a 200 day at 1394 and a 50 day at 1360. So not only are they inverted to the downside still, the market is trading, the market's trading above it, but only time will tell. Like I say, if you're a long-term investor and I'm looking at this chart, this 13 number looks like you better not take it out. And then basically, if it can get above, let's put it this way, if we're at 90 to 1 put to call ratio, I'm not put to call, but gold to silver ratio. If gold's going to go to this 1700 number that Tudor Jones hung his hat on, then the silver could go up towards 18 to 20 and be a decent runner, just keeping the ratio in that 90 area. So I think it's really going to be dependent. Rallying gold is really going to follow through, and it feels like it wants to follow through. But my personal opinion is if there is a bull market in gold right now, which it appears there be, what are you supposed to do in a bull market? You're supposed to buy the dip, not sell, not buy the strength. You know?
Right. I think it was a lot of short covering today.
Seemed like it.
In silver, because I don't hold the same promise that I see in gold as I do in silver. So
I'm not an expert in silver and platinum and gold, but I can just tell from outside looking in, because I have experience with all of that, that something has changed from back in the day on platinum and silver, because for them going to this kind of a discounted relationship or a discounted, I mean, platinum always was above the price of gold, and now it just hit over $600 discount this week. So, you know, something's going on there, and it must probably have to do with industry has changed their tune on the use of both platinum and silver. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
I agree.
The stuff they used to use it for has gone away. That seems to be, might have been what's happening.
Okay.
All right, well, let's switch to the next guy here, and let's go to TSM.
Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturer. It's an ADR, which I, from my entire trading career, have always stayed away from. But nonetheless, just a very quick look. Again, on the daily chart, I don't think it's a very promising picture right now. It dropped back below, on my chart, back below the 200-day, which I had at 39.84, and just that was yesterday, and then just continued to sell off today. And I don't think that's over. I think this thing drops back towards at least 37, if not lower. On the upside, it keeps getting stuck at around, what's that, 40.75-ish? And it would need to break that and then 41 to show me that it's got continued strength. And if I place that type of a move against what I'm seeing in the indicators, no, I don't think it's going to happen. So yeah, I'm looking for downside on this one.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard call because it's in the middle of the road. The resistance is up at the 45, which it's been resistance for now 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And now it's got support at 35, which it's been the support for another couple of years. Right. And so you've got a $10 range, and now you're in the middle of 40. So do you want to play Russian roulette here? The moving averages are right here, though, 39 on the 200-day ballpark and 40 on the 50-day. So, I mean, you know, if it started to trade above 40, I would find that to be constructive. And then, you know, obviously you'd want it to stay above 40 so these averages can matriculate to the upside. But unless it broke 45, I mean, there's no fortune to be made in Taiwan Semi as far as I could see.
I agree. Give me 1 second, please, Jim. I'm sorry. Somebody just is knocking on the door and I got to tell them to go away.
Okay. All right. So just continuing on with the semiconductors as a sector, let's just take a look at SMH while Michael is doing that. And that'll give us the ETF on semis. And that is down, you know, 86 today. Looks like it's up in the aftermarket a little bit. I don't know if there was news on something, but today it had a kind of a rough day to the downside. But again, it had a correction on the SMH down to the just below 100 area, and it's got to come back up. So, you know, bottom line is if you're long this stuff, you don't want on the SMH, you don't want it underneath those recent lows around 97. And if you're into this Taiwan semi, you'd like it to start trading above 40, and then you would not want it to get to 38, and you'd want to see if it's going to keep going. But it's in the middle of the road, and the middle of the road is sometimes not the easiest place to make decisions.
You're right. Very, very much so.
Here's one that a lot of people are touting up now again, particularly on a longer-term basis, Freeport-McMoRan, because obviously the resurgence in metals. But that seems to still be finding its boat legs. But what are you seeing on Freeport-McMoRan, Michael?
Well, I think that particularly with this particular company, their stronghold or their strength is in copper. And so copper is not going to follow gold. Copper has its own market in terms of who uses it, who demands it, who buys it, you know, all that, all the stuff that keeps that business going. Now, this is another one similar to silver. It's kind of come off that low that we saw at the beginning of June at $9.47. And it's done a great pattern, ended up just a little bit above where it ended today at about $11.67. And now it's coming back off again. It's kind of really stalled out right here. I don't think it looks very good. Again, I don't think it's going to break to 12. I think it's going to break down. And you've got support at 10, 50, 10, and then at that low at 9.47. And whether it actually is going to stop at the low, it might take a pause, but I think ultimately it could drop back down towards $9.
Yeah. Like I say, it's another one that looks like it might be getting a dead cat bounce.
Yeah.
If you are an investor, just like on the silver at 13, you might want to use the 950 area as a you know, as a line in the sand. And then basically, if you wanted to accumulate this thing thinking that it does have a future, then you could do it that way. But copper, you know, I mean, if China slows down, I think that's a very big negative for copper, because, you know, they're a big purchaser of copper, and they don't purchase it. That's a big buyer that's gone bye-bye. So, but I looked
like... I may not purchase it from the United States.
This 950, though, if you're an investor, that should be a pretty reasonable light in the sand, because if it starts breaking underneath that, then 10 is going to be resistance. Right. And now you're into a whole new swimming pool. Right now, the swimming pool is between 10 and 15. And so we're at 11.34, which, again, is trying to bounce back up. But certainly, you know, it would have to get above 15 to really get you, because there's former lows at 15 in the middle of 2018. And then there's the high this year at, it says 18. That's 52-week high. Yeah, but this year, it's been around a little bit under 15 as the high. So, yeah, it does really look like the twin of SLV in some respects.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, let's turn to the next one, which is one that got a big order out of Iberian Air, out of Spain, I guess. And it turned their fortunes around for a few weeks, because their fortunes had been damaged pretty much by some bad news. So Boeing, big boy Boeing, what are you thinking?
I have a great respect for the company, but I don't have a great respect for what's going on right now. I off of this low at 330, which we saw the end of May, all tied in with the Super Max 9. And you're right. Iberia walking in going, well, you guys are going to fix the problem. So here, we're going to give you, you know, how was the size of the order? $2 billion or something like that?
They had 200 planes or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a big number. And I remember watching the stock going, like, well, what the heck is going on? Because I don't think that this whole problem is done. I don't think that they haven't even begun to test this fix for the problem that they've been having with this jet. And regardless of the size of that order, if they're unable to put it together and actually produce it, Iberia could cancel in 6 months for all we know. So I think it was a lot of, instead of, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news, they bought the news. And not that that was a bad thing, but I think that just is, it peaked at 380. Now it's come off and it's now sitting just below 370. And there is a very high probability that it'll go up and poke above 380 and then do a little bit larger correction. Now if that happens, it's going to leave a very bullish pattern on the charts. In my mind, that would produce a small, at least on my daily chart, a small five ways up. That would be bullish overall for this stock. And that would portend that we'll do a pullback off of wherever it tops out and then put in an additional five waves up as a minimum. And so that would, in my mind, push this stock back towards 400, 410. Now, not bad. Or for all we know, you know, it starts raining roses and it goes all the way back up to the highs. But at this point, we'll keep it on a little bit shorter term. If the stock fails from here and it drops down below 360, all bets are off and it's going lower. If it can maintain itself above 360 and continue to inch higher or just work itself higher, then I think we be in a better position and it should reach above 380, number one, put in an additional high. It could actually go up to 390 in that neighborhood before it starts to find pretty solid resistance. 400 level should still really provide very strong resistance right now. And then, so I'm going to say you got about 385 on the top side, 360 on the bottom. And those are my parameters for right now.
Yeah, that seems to be where it's trading between. Volume today really dried up, 2.7 million versus... Yeah. Of 5.3. So I don't know if a downdraft with a light volume might not be so bad. But you're right. Pretty much, 350, 360 is your support zone, and you've got resistance at 400. So you break through 400, you're off to the races. And if they had a trade deal ever happen, probably be helpful to this company for sure. So trade deal resolution and hold the 350, 360, take out the 400, and then you're back on the bicycle here with this thing. So, like I say, it has improved. You know, there has been an improvement in the stock, no doubt about it. And it is above the 200 and the 50-day average, but they're still inverted to the downside, the 50 and the 200-day. So if this thing started, like you say, 360, 350, then something's going on, and then it puts 300 into play pretty fast.
Very fast. I agree with you 100%.
All right, well, let's see what else is going on in the world. Nugget, of course, Nugget. The gold market, yeah. NGD. Where were all these questions about gold, $100 ago, right?
Remember, last week we were talking and you said to people if they really wanted to play into the metals, in particular gold, this was on your your list.
Like I say, the GDX was definitely very conductive here for a while, as well as some of the other ETFs. And then the juniors got going here in the last few days. And the GDXJs are also had a big run up. But on a short run, like I say, it does look a little overheated. Anyway, Nugget is 2762. It had a high of about 30 today, and it did go home at 2762 down on the day. So like I say, I'm probably not the only guy in town who thinks that the bloom could come off the rose a little bit in the short run.
I agree again. And what I find interesting is this is a 3X. It's a 3X bullish, right? I
think, yeah.
Which is really incredible because, this, you know, in terms of the moving gold, but this actually might be, what is in this particular one? Is this based on the junior miners? It's just miners.
There's no connotation that it's junior, but it does obviously have some type of leverage to it because it's bullish times three, and it's doubled in price. On this run, so you've definitely got the leverage going your way that way. But of course, leverage works the other way if it goes the other way too. That's probably why it had to fall to move today, because again, it's three times leverage.
Right, and I think that today's move in its entirety, so the fly up and then the boom downside, if that does not bring in for traders or even retail people, you better take a stop, take a breath, and look at this thing, because that was not normal. So as we were talking before we started the show, just exactly how gold unfolded today just didn't hit correctly. And in your gut, like, oh, what are they doing? As if there was war had broken out, or as if something really bad had happened internationally, politically, et cetera, because gold will react to those types of situations. In the absence of that type of a situation, you begin to wonder, because gold came way off that high, so did Nugget. Yeah. And that just pulls me back and tells me, oop, you know what? Something's up. I don't want to play. And I don't really think, for me to believe that this was just an anomaly and that it reacted to just the movement in gold, fine. If gold doesn't recover itself and just continue from here, then there's no hope for Nugget. Now I'm going to move my chart out and take a look at a weekly chart.
I was looking at the daily graph, and you remember the breakaway, runaway, and exhaustion gaps that they used to talk about back in the day? I don't know. Do they still talk that? I don't know if they do. But anyway, this Nugget had a breakaway move from 14 up to 16, and then it had a gap from 16 area up to 18. And so you got breakaway, and then you had a runaway, and then I don't know, was this exhaustion, this gap between?
I would say this is the exhaustion because what we had, it should have been the exhaustion gap. You know, we had that gap from 23 up to 2460.
Right. Isn't that the exhaustion if the other two are
breakaway running? It literally exhausted itself today.
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday was a good one. It didn't really eat too much above yesterday's high.
Right.
Probably because it doesn't trade in Europe. But, and then once we got open, they were just like, no, we'll just start selling it. So it started to come off. So yeah, I think you could go with that. So coming off from here on that basis, if you're going to look at the market on that basis, it should find support around 24. And then again, and on those other breaks.
Again, 21 million shares today, averages 9 million. So, you know, there you go with the high volume blow off.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to see. And, you know, it's anything can happen in these things, but, you know, we're trying to work with some probabilities and possibilities. And
certainly. At this point, I think it continues to pull back. I really do. Again, indicators are suggesting this has been really cooked, overcooked. We need a pullback. Now, if they did it all today, so be it. But I don't see it in the indicators. So
that was all right, let's switch over to, let's switch over to another stock that's very popular, Micron Technology. Michael, what are you seeing on Micron here?
Micron reported. They love the earnings. Micron at the moment is trading at 34.46 after reaching a high at 35.10. So they love the earnings. It blasted up out of that low, kind of just putting that in place. And I think a lot is going to depend on what this all looks like tomorrow morning after everybody else in the world's had a chance to trade it. And then we come back in tomorrow morning and everybody gets a chance to go in there and take a punch. Now, from here, with good earnings, now I have to remember that Micron has a history of kind of not doing correctly, not really following through. But this time they did, and they produced good earnings. They did not make it above the high that we saw last week. So I would say that this should continue to move higher. The earnings were great. I see that there's still a lot of room to the upside, at least up to 36 from here. If you were short the stock, hopefully you had a stop in or you had some protection underneath all this. And because if you're looking at that, it looked like it was going to continue to move lower. And I think, no, I think it's not. On my daily chart, I got the 200-day at 39.59. And that would be the next area where I think it would go and take a sniff and see what was going on. But right now, Micron is a perennial favorite, not only retail, but in a lot of professional traders.
I'm sure in every tech fund, they got some Micron in there.
Right. So I actually do not see it going to 28.39. That was the low December of last year. I don't see it going there right now. If it does, it's going to happen real fast.
Yeah, I mean, this thing has been on the defensive. Last year, mid-year in 2018, it was up at 60. So it went down to half price. Yeah. Let's put that in perspective. Yeah. Then it had a rally up to 45, which is not surprising it failed there because that was the low in about the second quarter of 2018. So 45 is a significant resistance and 30 is the support. So, you know, if you're playing it for a channel, you know, seems like it's a $30 to $45 stock. And, you know, they have nothing but resistance above. 36 is your 50-day, 38 is your 200-day, and 45 is the high for the year, about 44, 45. Like so there's plenty of resistance here. They're having a good report out, God bless them. But, you know, they're coming out of the abyss a little bit and going up to 34 after it's dropped from 45 to 30. I don't know if you get your party hats out for that, but we'd have to see. This was another one that might benefit, of course, if trade stuff starts mellowing out. So when and if it gets above 45, then you're going to open up a very big upside. Up until that point, it looks like you buy it near 30 and you sell it up near 45, right?
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm totally with you on that one.
That's what it looks like. All right. So anyway, the next guy we got to talk about here is the big kahuna, Apple. And let's see what you're seeing on Apple.
I'm seeing that the stock is needed to pull back. I'm glad to see that it is finally pulling back today. And I think that still got a little bit more to go and still be very, very healthy. Let me say that as well. A little bit of caution flag out. It poked its nose above 200 once, twice, three times. They didn't like it. So they came in as sellers. And so this whole little corrective phase, and I'm going back to April when it hit 215, that we got the first leg down, which took us to those May lows at 171. Now we get that great run up, which is could be nothing more than just a bounce back above 200. And now it's starting back down again. So I have a couple of ways. If that first wave that I talked about to the downside was the beginning, this middle rally was the intervening rally, and we have another down leg. And if that's the case, that down leg is going to go below 170. I don't think there's company news that could really portend to do that unless all of this China trade talk blows up. If it blows up, yeah, I could see it. But in absence of that happening, if they come to agreements and everybody shakes hands and goes away happy, then I think that this stock could very easily go back above 200, back above 210, and start heading for all-time highs. But in absence of that, I would wait and see and look for the correction to continue. I think you're going to find some support at 190, and then it really, you don't get a whole lot until about 185, you know, the round numbers, 185, 180, 170. But I think if it indeed is still part of that larger correction, it's going to go below 170. I don't see how, but that's what the chart itself is telling me.
Yeah, obviously on the chart, the 230 area, 233 is the all-time high, and it's getting to be in a couple of months, it'll have a year where it stayed underneath it. The rally above 215 failed, and it looks like the rally at 200. And, you know, it's a pretty good technical chart because, you know, when it went up to 215, you know, there were former lows there, and there was actually a little gap that it kind of filled almost from October of last year. And and those lows obviously were now resistance. And so we stopped at 215. Then we had a low at about May 1st. At around 200, and this thing goes up to 200, and it can't get through that former low, which is now resistance, and now it's back down. And if it does get under 190, I don't think these little lines here are going to be able to hold it up. So, you know, this company is a little bit mysterious now because they're not reporting their iPhone sales, I guess, and people are saying that the iPhone sales are drying up quite a bit, and now they're trying to say that the services industry is going to keep the thing going, and maybe that's the big question mark. Is services going to bring in so much revenue to offset the hardware stuff that has dried up? And that's a big question, and I think when they start announcing earnings, you get a better chance on that.
Right, but I think that we also need to put into this formula that Apple has stepped out, and they have opened a studio down outside of Hollywood, outside of Los Angeles, because they're now going to be a content provider. They're going to go into competition with Amazon and Netflix and all the rest of the boys. And that's not really been out there and talked about. So we've got that in there, because I agree with you. If you don't sell iPhones and your iMac and your computer sales are iffy, why is the stock at 195?
Yeah, I mean, they need to definitely keep bringing in the big revenue to keep the valuation going and to keep the stock price up. And they're getting into a lot of business that are a little bit afield from where they've been. They had those big announcements, but no concrete plans on when those things were going to happen. So, like I say, those announcements were very exciting and drove the price back up. And then without concrete facts on when they're going to actually happen, you know, people may lose some enthusiasm. But, you know, you start trading above 200, start trading above 215, and now you're going to be setting yourself up for something pretty good. And just wanted to see where the moving averages are, give an idea where the trend of price is. And I'm looking at the 50-day at 190, and the 200-day at 197. So like you say, we start breaking under 190, you take out 188, which is essentially a 200-day, then it could go back in the soup pretty fast, because this rally was pretty fast and furious, which means if it started to roll over and take out those numbers, there's not enough chart formation of support to hold up a bunch of selling.
Right.
So, and there's another one where the volume dried up today, 20 million shares, and it averages 34 million on a 200-day basis. So I don't know if volume drying up is a good thing, but if the volume comes in big on some kind of news one way or the other, it could make the stock jump pretty good. But a lot of people were thinking this 200 level was a place to either take profits or hedge, this 200 area.
Yeah. Right.
And it looks so far, it's pretty accurate that way. All right, Roku, R-O-K-U.
You guys want to do a trade idea, individual trade idea first before we go on?
Do you have something on your mind there, Michael?
Again, so that people know, I was an options market maker, and I'm on several, two continents. But since I've really been off the floor, I switched and I went to just trading futures. And part of the reason was, I'm going to tell you, is because as an options market maker, we depend and we live on volatility. That's how a lot of professional traders, you're going to base your trade on what the volatility is. Higher volatility, more money to me. So I found that what was happening is that I'd be looking going like, wow, it's a 90% volatility. I'm going to sell this. Well, then I would go to 120. And that kept happening. So there was enough trade out there that they did didn't pay any attention to volatility and just continued to buy it. Now, having said that, I think that if people are really buying into the market, then you got to take your lumps when you get them, because I don't necessarily follow along with the plan that we're going up, we're going up, we're going up, and it never comes down. And so, yes, there may still be upside. But I think that as far as for me, again, I am my core positions are I'm long gold and I'm short treasury bonds. I continue to be long gold, even with today's move and the failure at the top and the thing come crashing back down, the $40, by the way, my trade advice would be that whatever position you have in a stock or in an index, that you need to take precautionary measures because the volatility is going to increase, hands down, because it's just how I feel. I do believe it is, and what it also is telling you that the moves that anything's going to make are going to be higher and faster. So with all of that in mind, that I believe that traders or investors need to protect themselves. They need to protect, if you have a profit, you need to protect it. Don't leave yourself open to what the market's whims might be. Even though you may believe that what you own or what you're long is going to continue to profit you, that's fine. So if you protect for downside and it doesn't and it goes up, hey, you're still going to make money. So I think that no matter what you're invested in, you need to take a cold, hard look at where it is, what its potential is, and then protect accordingly.
Okay, sounds good. A couple of things that I'm looking at, and I would suggest people take a look at and do some number crunching on, would be obviously protecting some of those gains in the metals, because mm-hmm. some of those things have run up far quite fast. So, you know, a covered write up here to bring in some cash flow in case we go sideways or pull back, a covered write combined with a put to bracket your equity for a little bit might not be so bad, or just an outright married put. So you crunch the numbers, see if it's suitable for you, see if it makes any sense. But this is the neighborhood, because of the action we've seen here, that it might make sense. You know, one day does not make a trend on the downside either. So, you know, see how you feel, look at your equity, and see if you investigate and do those numbers if mm-hmm. they crunch out fine. The other thing is how do you feel about the price of oil? You have to ask yourself. And, you know, right now on the price of crude, it's at 58.28. And are you a believer that the 50 numbers are now done and we're not going to see a 40 handle on this thing and it's going to matriculate back up? If that's the case, you know, some of these oil companies pay some pretty good dividends. Royal Dutch, British Petroleum, Phillips 66. These guys are paying dividends. And of course, dividends can change, but they pay anywhere between 4% and 6% in that range. So you're getting paid while you hold on to something. That could be something that could work out if you're a believer that crude is going to have a good time of it. And if you think that they're going to be stimulating to a point where demand is going to pick up. And again, you know, we're not at 75 or 65 on crude. We're in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And the lows has been right around 50. So the bet would be, obviously, that we're not going to get a 40 handle and that it's going to matriculate up. And while you're watching the movie, you're going to get 4 to 6% ballpark on your dividend. Mm-hmm. And that might not be the worst thing to look at right now as well. So those are a couple of things. Protecting yourself in the gold and investigating whether the crude might be worth a shot would be something to take a look at. And that's what I got.
That's what we got.
Okay, so let's turn over to the next guy here, which is Roku. MGM.
No, it's Roku.
We didn't do Roku. Okay, yeah, let's hit Roku. R-O-K-U. What do you got?
Interesting, because I really haven't sat and looked at the stock since I think last time we talked about it on this show. And after reaching last week 108.32, the stock has just fallen out of bed very quickly, closing today at 93.25. Now, was this just a correction, or was this the start of a much larger decline? I can't tell just yet. I take a look at the weekly, and the weekly still is allowing for this pullback with additional new all-time highs. Because don't forget, you know, Roku has basically not been around forever. So here's what I'm going to say on this one. The stock continues to have room to correct, and that would push it below 90. But I would not want to see this thing too far below, say, 85. Below 85, I start to think, this was all a folly up to 108, and now how it's going to find its happy medium and where it really needs to be when reality, you know, sets back in. So I, again, if you're long the stock and you're long from above, you might want to think about putting some protection on it. If you're longer from below and you watch to go up and you don't want to give back so much profit, then you still need to put protection around your positions.
Yeah, I mean, this is the poster child for overbought versus the 200-day moving average. I mean, the 200-day average, I got the 200-day average at 60, and the thing hit 108 last Thursday.
Right.
Or last Wednesday. And so at 108 minus 60, you're, 48 bucks above the 200-day. Divided by the 200-day, you know, you are 80% above the 200-day. You know, I consider things getting overdone as soon as it breaks above 20 or 30. So 80 is kind of like very stretched. Now, obviously, doesn't mean anything other than, you know, the trees don't grow to the sky, and you've already lost how many? You lost 15 points in a week. Obviously, that has to have some effect on the overbought condition, technically. So, bottom line, when you get this high up, and you've been in there, and you've made some run, throwing a put in there to try to protect some of that money, you know, seems fairly prudent because, like I say, the elasticity between the price and the 200-day average, you know, there is some relationship over time. And they, you know, the reversion back towards the mean is, you know, basically the theory. And in this case, since last Wednesday, the theory has turned into is materializing a bit because, you know, 15 bucks is what's 15 divided into 108? Let's find out on a percentage basis. It has gone down 14% in a week. So that's why when they get way, way above the averages, throwing a couple of bones out there as far as puts against your stock is not the worst idea in the world. Right. And it's this is a hard one to really, you know, talk about because it's wild. It goes from 26 to 108 on a 52-week range. So obviously, you know, it's like throwing a ball. It's throwing a ball off the Empire State Building. It's going to bounce in very big ranges now because it's had a very big move. Today it had 12 million shares of volume, and taking a look at what that means as far as in relationship to what it's been doing, it's about in line, so it's not a big deal that way. Anyway, it's obviously a company that's still losing money, according to what I see. The EPS is a negative number, and it's a company that people are obviously betting on the come line that they're going to have all these revenues and all these profits down the road, and that could very well happen. And but it's going to also be a very wild ride. As it has been for the last 2 years, because it was above 60 in 2018 and dropped all the way to 30. So that's half your money gone. And then from 30, it's gone up to over 100. So there's three times on your money on the upside. So the bottom line is this is something where, you know, it's going to be very, very volatile and exciting, but not right for everybody.
Right.
Okay. So MGM, the big casino out there, and they are they had been going up a little bit lately because of I think some good news out of China and other areas as well. What do you see on MGM?
I want to pull this open one more. MGM, actually, I think there's I can on a very long term basis, I can sit here and say that this stock topped at 38.41 back in January of 2018 and has just been doing a downside off of that. And if I again sticking with the monthlies is a very big view. It put in the first leg. It put in, it's in the process of putting in the second leg, which is a bounce. And I think I'm going to pull it back down now that this stock could make its way back above 30 and back above that 30.22 high. And eventually the 31.66 high that we saw in July of last year. Now, if it gets to do that, then I'm saying get out because that means it's over. And this thing is not going to be a pretty picture as it comes tumbling back down yet again. Now in the very shorter term and my charts, it went down and kissed the 200-day today, which was on my charts at 27.37. It broke just below it, came back, you know, so what we say in the market, it kissed and ran and then ended up closing above it today. Now, I think the stock should have some continued upside, but I would not get long the stock now. Your opportunity to get long the stock was back at 24 to 25. I would not look to be getting long now because you're not going to get the same return. You're not going to have that percentage of a solid return in there because it's got nothing but resistance from here on out. But anything breaking below this, if it really starts to break below 26.5, I think it'll be done and it won't find support until 25.20. And then if it breaks there, you got 21.62.
Yeah. Because it seems to be in a little bit of a range, 25 and 30. So basically at 27.62, yeah, you're right in the middle. Now, the moving averages that I show are both underneath the market. So that's not a bad thing. So if you're holding on to this stock, you know, I don't think it's crazy to hold on to it. But how far is it going to go if 30 is your top? And so basically, I would like to see it above 30, which would open the door to much higher levels. Or you know, if you're a range player, you know, you obviously want to buy it closer to 25 and sell it closer to 30. And obviously, 27.62 is kind of smack in the middle. So to me, my opinion, my view would be it's a hold, and it would be a break under 26. I don't think 25 would hold if it breaks 26. You know, then it would be getting underneath all the averages again, and it'd probably be wrapped around some bad news. And if it's wrapped around bad news and it's breaking underneath the averages, I don't think 25 will hold it. So anyway, again, it is range bound 25 and 30, and making a whole bunch of decisions right in the middle here is kind of a rough racket again. Next one up here is USMJ,
which North American Cannabis Holdings. This is a stock that trades so far below a dollar that it doesn't.
This is beyond pink sheets. This is in the whatever other sheets they have out there.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, this thing for about a week has traded at, what is that, five? That's not even a thousandth of a penny. It's the next one down. I mean, just, it's unbelievable. So it's trading between four and five. What is that, a hundred thousandth of a penny or something like that, which is nothing. So, I mean, for $15, you probably could pick up 500,000 shares. I don't know. If you play penny stocks, go for it. I would not even give this a second look.
Yeah, this is something I have absolutely no familiarity with. So obviously, if you are involved in this, the risk is whatever the price is, like an option. The risk is whatever the price is.
Yeah,
and the reward will be whatever story works out on them, if they have a story to tell.
I have to tell you, in my history with companies or holdings or any of that stuff that's like this.
Yeah.
The people are like, well, you know, I could buy 100,000 shares for nothing. It's like, yes, you can. Be prepared to give that money to somebody, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I
don't remember the last time that I heard that something like this actually did go to a dollar.
Yeah, the category is called, their industry group is called non-alcoholic beverages and drinks. So maybe they're doing something with cannabis and the drink. Like I say, to just guess what they're doing would be stupid. So the right answer is I have no idea, and let's go to the next one. GBTC.
Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. This one's going to be interesting, because there's now a whole new interest revival in Bitcoin. This thing was up in another $440 today, is now back above 11,000 Bitcoin. That's going to pretend very well for this particular trust. Now, if you believe that Bitcoin's going to go to 30,000, as you might hear on the news, hey, you want to be in this. But if you're starting by now, after the rally has really gone in Bitcoin from 4,000 to 11,000, I don't know. I would not touch it now. I would not touch it in its current position. This thing is extremely overbought, I'm sure, as is Bitcoin. I don't know what's underneath it, other than just maybe short covering in Bitcoin, short covering, and people who've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and now feel they're going to miss the rally, so they're jumping in. And usually when that happens, they did miss the rally. So similar to what we saw in gold, as you know, you got sellers and they're all standing around the side watching, they're looking for a reason to jump in, they're looking to smack everybody. And if they catch it and this thing starts to go, you're going to be very unhappy if you paid $15 for it, because I think it could drop very fast. You could lose $6 in this stock in a heartbeat if it's that empty of reason, if there's nothing fundamentally sitting underneath it to say, no, this trust or this stock should be at 20. In the absence of that, you got nothing but downside.
Yeah, it seems to me like the dollar index was in a range of 98 and change and 95 and change. range. Still in the range. I mean, today it was up in the 96s. So, you know, the dollar has not really broken down to any large degree, but the price of gold is acting as if it's broken down 10% already, and Bitcoin is acting like it's broken down by 10%. And the volume in this particular issue was 10 million shares today, and the average volume 200-day has been 2.9. So, you know, the volume, again, is absolutely enormous today. And again, you know, it did have a run at the end of 17 that took you from 10 to 40, and I'm sure there's people who hope it is going to do the same. Now, it's pointing in that direction, and it's got a saucer look to the chart. Anything can happen here, but anything that's trading at 14.88, who has a 200-day average of $6.50, that's, you know, giving me a little bit of an idea that it's overdone. But if there's a panic into this thing, which there seems to be a little bit of one, then, you know, it could go wherever it wants. But, you know, me personally, my personal opinion on all this stuff, you know, is what it is. But my personal opinion is that if it's a bull market, which apparently it looks like they're trying to turn it into a bull market, what you'd like to do if you could is to buy the dips. So if this thing had a pretty good size dip, and then you can use the 200-day or the 50-day, which is at 930, as some kind of a net or a line in the sand, then you could maybe get a more reasonable entry level. It seems like anywhere between 9 and 11 would be where there'd be some support possibly. So if it went down towards 9 or 11, you know, that would be a very interesting thing. Here, you're jumping on a train that you're going to close your eyes and just hope it doesn't stop, because it's already gone from San Diego to Santa Barbara, and it's gone very fast, and you're hoping that it's still going to go to San Francisco, and maybe it's going to go back and pick up some passengers in LA before they go to San Francisco.
Right. Other thing I'm going to add is, like, if you're serious about that, you're thinking you want to go into this, or maybe you already are into it, pull open a weekly chart. Don't look at it in terms of, hey, this went from $38.71 down to $3, and now it's heading back up. This can go back to $38. It's like, okay, if I have to give the odds on that, and I don't live in Las Vegas, so I can't, I would say that that's pretty low. I did just put up some Fibonacci numbers. Again, $38.71 down to that low. This rally has been nice. It's been strong, but it has yet to reach a 38.2% corrective rise in the stock. And that sits at $16.95. And then a 50% sits at $21.12. It has to really break to prove that this thing's going to really continue and make new highs. Believe it or not, folks, it's got to break $25.29.
Hey, let's go over a couple of quick ones here, because it's almost the top of the hour. Let's just see if any of these, you know, because if I don't really see all these things. NJR, are you familiar with NJR? If not, let's go to the next.
New Jersey Resource, no.
No. And basically, what type of business are they in? Let's just see real quick. Gas and utilities. Yeah, so obviously gas and utilities have been pretty popular. If you look at the utility index, it's been getting a lot of bid. And this thing, you know, basically is taking advantage. It's obviously looking like it is going to the upside with the other utilities. And probably, you know, that it's a utility stock. And as long as utilities do well, more than likely, maybe they will continue.
At this level, if you're long, you need to protect. That's what I'm going to add.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, utilities have done a very, very well, and sometimes they take a time out. Macy's is a retailer, but it's a retailer with a lot of brick and mortar, and that's not very helpful.
They've already closed most of them.
Yeah, it's on the defensive. Again, it's got a very low P ratio, pays a ridiculous dividend. But, you know, again, if you want to take a shot at it, you get to the yearly low at 20. So, you know, you're only $1.30 off the 52-week low. And if you want to trade it off of that, good luck to you. And then Telephone is one that I've been watching because it pays a great dividend as well. But it's kind of stuck in a little bit of a range. I'd like to see it stay above 30. I wouldn't want to see a two handle on it. And so basically, if it can stay above 30, I think it looks okay. What do you think, Michael?
I agree with you, but I think that it's got more downside. I don't think that downside is going to take it to 30. I think it'll end up at 31.5. And then that should be a good entry. And again, your stop's 30, because I agree exactly what you said. If it starts to break below 30, look out below. But I think it still has some more upside.
And while it's meandering, it's got a better than six handle on its yield, so that ain't bad.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, we're at top of the hour. We're at the top of the hour. We did most of them. Michael, again, a little bit about yourself, and how can people get a hold of you?
Again, Michael Filiguera with Logical Signals, my website. If you want to send me a message or just send me a question, please do it. Michael@logicalsignals.com. I always respond, so please feel free. If you're listening and there was something that you want to question on what we went over today, feel free. Send me an email.
Okay, great. I'm Jim Kenny, content provider, optionprofessor.com. Every week, you can listen to my views, my observations, my opinions by going to optionprofessor.com, and get the link, and then you can listen to the broadcast, and you can refer friends and other associates who want to get an insight to this stuff. Also, questions. If you have any questions on anything you're looking at, you own, or you're concerned about, again, optionprofessor@gmail.com. I'll do my best to try to give you some information there. And then, of course, check with your advisor and your clearing firm to see what's appropriate of anything. Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to David. Great show, and back to you, David.
All right, thanks, guys. Great show. So just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. Go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording for this or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for both shows next week. Crowd Forecast News, that'll be July 1st, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And the next episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade, that'll be July 2nd, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can always go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live broadcast. And just want to thank my guests again for this week, Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com and Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.